Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. For help with guest options, press star 0. The moderator has not yet joined the conference. Please stand by.
Hey, what's up, guys? John Sin is here. 5 minutes from now, we will get started. So, just a quick 5 minute countdown, and we will be starting very, very shortly. Word. All right, guys, I'm going to get started in 1 minute. 1 minute from now. Okay, time to get started. Okay, welcome to the next installment in the Seduction Roadmap, Nonverbal Seduction. I'm John Sin, and today we're going to be talking about the nonverbal aspects that go along with every seduction. So the first question we always want to ask is, what are we talking about? What is nonverbal seduction? So nonverbal seduction, in my definition, refers to the process of moving things towards sex without words. So these are all of the things that happen through every channel of communication except what we're saying. So far in the Seduction Roadmap, we've talked a lot about what to say. We've talked about what to say to build sexual attraction. We've talked about what to say to frame women sexually, to qualify them sexually, to cold read them sexually, to unleash their sexual side. And now, to tie everything together, I want to talk about the stuff that is happening constantly. Because one of the things that we have to be aware of is that pickup and game progress on three distinct tracks. The first one is the verbals. And the verbals are very important. You have to verbally escalate the interaction. The second one is the physical, the nonverbal. That has to be escalating as well. You can't just sit and talk to a girl from 4 feet away from her for, you know, a couple hours and expect to take her home. And then there's also logistical. You also need to be moving the girl around to get her comfortable with you, A, and also to start getting her to a place where she's going to be comfortable getting aroused and getting sexual with you. So the nonverbal part is basically a third of what game is, and the verbal part is a third, and the logistical part is a third. So included in nonverbal seduction are things like body language, and when I talk about body language, I'm including things like eye contact, touching, facial expressions, all of that kind of stuff. Then we're also going to have touching. The touching has to be escalated. Touching needs to be moving towards sex. If I had a dollar for every time a boot camp student touches a girl on the elbow 5 times, and then I tell them that they're not touching enough, and they respond, "I touched her like 5 times. You have to be moving towards something. Your touch must be escalating. You must be using your touch to show interest and to start to get her comfortable with you being a touchy person and with you progressively touching more and more intimate areas of her body. And lastly, spatial relevance. And spatial relevance refers to how you move in and out of her space, how you move her in and out of your space. So why is nonverbal seduction important? Nonverbal seduction is important because of two distinct concepts. Number one, nonverbal seduction bridges the gap between the physical and the verbal escalation. You can't tease a girl and then try to kiss her. You can't, look at a girl like you hate her and then try to compliment her. You can't try to kiss a girl from 4 feet away. You can't try to kiss a girl who you haven't held hands with. You can't try to have sex with a girl you haven't kissed. So all of these things, you need to bridge the gaps between them. You need to bridge the gap between when you meet her, what touching is appropriate, and we'll talk about how to touch and how to use nonverbal seduction early on in the attraction and social comfort type phases. And we'll talk about how to bridge the gaps between all sorts of things and comfort as well, where you're going to get more intimate. And then we'll also talk about bridging the gaps that actually go to sex and seduction. Because I think a lot of guys, especially the guys who are less experienced, may have some confusion about how you go about physically getting girls ready for sex and how you actually go from the process of making out with a girl on a couch to having her have sex with you. And so that part is also a big part of nonverbal seduction. The second reason that nonverbal seduction is important is that doing the things that subcommunicate sex generates tons of sexual comfort. The more comfortable you can get with a girl being sexual on as many channels of communication as possible, the more sexual comfort you're generating and the more easy it will be to transition to having sex with a woman. If you have been texting back and forth with a girl about how the two of you don't like morning sex, but she'll, like, give you a hand job in the morning, and then she shows up to drink it for a day date at your house, and she shows up in a bikini because you guys are going to go in the hot tub, all of which are things that happened to me on a date 2 weeks ago. Obviously, that girl is pretty sexually comfortable. We've already talked about having sex and, like, what it would be like. We're comfortable talking about it. It's not weird. She still showed up. She showed up in a sexual outfit, showing a lot of skin, being provocative. She showed up to a sexual location with things like drinking in a hot tub, both of which subcommunicate a physical connection. Then it just becomes a matter of bridging that physical gap. But that's an extreme example. But by bringing things to a sexual verbal at some level, you know, getting her sexually comfortable talking about sex or you know, accepting statements of intent, and then also getting her comfortable at a physical level, meaning she's comfortable with you touching her, you know, kissing her, holding her, you know, you get your hands close to her, you know, naughty areas, and she doesn't, you know, tense up or anything like that. And then also, like, sexual logistics, right? Like, back somewhere where you can take advantage and you guys can have sex without any bad consequences. So generating that sexual comfort is very, very important. And the nonverbal stuff generates a ton of sexual comfort. Like, by having the body language of sexual comfort, showing her that you're comfortable around her, you're comfortable projecting sexual intent, being sexual towards her, you're not nervous about it, you're not uncomfortable, you know, having sexualized touching that turns her on, but isn't overt or over the top, and then getting her to a location where it would be comfortable for the two of you to have sex and even make out. You want to be aware of where you're kissing girls as well. You don't want to kiss them in places where they're not going to be comfortable, because then they will have some buyer's remorse. When do we want to start nonverbal seduction? Nonverbal seduction is going to take various shapes and forms throughout the process of meeting a girl to beginning a sexual relationship. So what that means is that the way we're going to project sexuality early on is not going to look like how we're going to project sexuality in the late game or even the middle of game. Like, you're going to see all of the tools of nonverbal seduction being used in different various ways. And the tools are spatial relevance, touching, and body language. So we're going to go through some examples in a little bit here. And I'm going to give you some better definitions on the three tools of nonverbal seduction so that you can start to implement these and you can start to put them in wherever your game is. So if you're right now not that great at getting attraction, I'm going to give you some stuff you can use to nonverbally build attraction and start the seduction process there. If you're good at building attraction but you're not really good at crossing the next gap, I'm going to give you some tools for nonverbal seduction during comfort. And lastly, I'm going to give you the tools to go from when you have good logistics and you're now comfortable making out with a girl to sex, using spatial relevance, touching, and body language. So there's a lot of material to cover. There's stuff for people at various levels. This is definitely one of the audios you're going to want to listen to a lot. And you're also going to want to check the accompanying videos that demonstrate me doing all of the techniques I'm talking about here with real live girls in controlled environments. So definitely listen to this audio, work wherever you are. If you're not ready for comfort yet, don't worry about the comfort stuff as much as the attraction stuff, because everything I'm talking about in here, the techniques may seem simple, but doing them will give you a big edge in your game. By simply integrating the tactics in this module, you can see a huge jump in your ability to hook sets and get attraction, your ability to get makeouts in comfort, and your ability to get from logistics to sex without last minute resistance. So there's a lot of content to get through here, and I want you to make sure you take notes and take note of where you are in this process so that you can figure out where you want to start applying the tactics and techniques. Now, I told you I wanted to give you better definitions of the three channels of nonverbal seduction. So I want to quickly take some time to define what I'm talking about so you have an idea of what kind of examples I'm going to give you. I'm not going to give you a lot of specific terms. I'm just going to give you broad overviews that everyone can understand. I'm not going to get into any crazy technical jargon or anything like that. So the number one tool for nonverbal seduction is body language. Body language refers to how you hold and move your body. So body language can convey a lot of sexuality because women look at how you move as in relation to how you would be in bed. Women look at how in control of yourself you are. Women look at how your facial expressions match what you're saying, what you're doing, and what your intent that you're putting into the interaction is. They look at how your eye contact works, especially when you're doing things that are bold. When you're escalating, it's really important that you have controlled eye contact. Now, that doesn't mean you have to stare like a stalker, and I'll talk about seductive eye contact in the seduction examples, but having controlled eye contact is a big part of body language. Having controlled movements, not having nervous twitches, fidgets, not having too much energy that you have to get rid of in non-purposeful movements, but having slow, controlled movement. And I'm going to give you some specific body language tactics, things you can actually do with your body and how you move it and turn it that are little tricks that really get good responses with women in the real world. So that's going to be body language. It's all the stuff that I just covered, facial expressions, eye contact, movement, and some specific body language tricks and tactics I've picked up along the years. The number two tool for nonverbal seduction is touching. And obviously touching is a third of the escalation because you're always going to be escalating physically. Sex ultimately is a physical escalation. So when you're touching, you have to know how to touch women. You have to know how to release the touching, which I've talked about, you know, in great detail, so that women chase you. And you have to know how to touch women in a way that shows them that you know what you're doing sexually and that arouses them and makes them turned on and ready for sex and wanting it and having a pleasant experience. So that touching is a big, big part of it. And guys generally tend to have trouble with touching the smarter they are. So generally, if you have a master's degree, you're going to have much more problems touching girls naturally than a guy who, you know, dropped out of high school. It's just the way it works. It's a different kind of intelligence. But you have to get used to touching girls, and you have to get used to what kind of touching is appropriate in each situation, because a lot of guys hear some of these crazy touching escalations that you can do with a woman back at your place once you've made out with her, and they think they can do stuff like that right after they've started a conversation. So understanding where physical escalation is appropriate comes with time, and it's one of those things where you just have to go out there and be overly touchy and get blown out and understand that those rejections will teach you how much you can get away with, and eventually you'll develop an intuition for touching, up to kissing and, you know, when a girl's ready for you to take her clothes off. And all that comes from experience and from not being afraid to try things that you learn in audios like this. And the number three tool of nonverbal seduction is spatial relevance. And when I'm talking about spatial relevance, I'm talking about how you interact with her in her personal space, intimate space, and social space. So we're going to talk all about those kind of spaces when we start talking about how to use spatial relevance in the beginning. But when you think about spatial relevance, you want to think about how you're using your space and her space. You want to be invading her space, getting closer to her, causing more incidental contact, getting closer and closer, because it just makes escalating easier. But you also want to use backing up as a way to gain compliance. So things like back turns, takeaways, cutting in, all these little spatial tricks that we can use to get closer to women without creeping them out and without triggering any sort of like defensive mechanisms. So there's a lot of stuff to get through, and I'm going to give you a lot of specific examples. So get your notes ready. We're going to start with nonverbal seduction early on, basically starting in the sexual attraction phase. This is when you want to start building nonverbal seduction. This is when you can really start to use a lot of these tactics to get women subconsciously turned on and to start communicating on a sexual level as opposed to a social level. We want to start on a social level when we're building social comfort, but once you break rapport and you start to build attraction or try to build attraction, you want to start sexualizing your seduction, because that's gonna, your nonverbal communications will tell the girl how to respond. When you put out sexual cues nonverbally as you're attracting her, you're kind of conditioning her to respond with sexual attraction. So that's like a big part of things. But you don't want to go too far with any of this stuff. You want to stick to stuff that's going to be appropriate, because while you can escalate things fast, the girl is going to give you the cues for escalation. So you kind of want to let her lead, and you want to be more of a tease. You want to be the one who's always taking away the sexual communication. You use it to quickly arouse her, and then you take it away and go back to normal. That's the key part to this whole process, is you use these things and then go back to being normal and relaxed, because the more you pour them on, the more you start to look horny and sexually desperate, and we all know that that is the kiss of death in any phase of an interaction with a woman. All right, so let's start by talking about body language for attraction. So when we're going for attraction, we want to convey a couple of things. We want to convey that we're fun. We want to convey that we're masculine, we want to convey that we're confident, and we want to convey that we are relaxed. So it's very important to have strong eye contact on the approach. It doesn't matter if you're approaching a group or a single girl. You want to make eye contact with everyone you're talking to. So if you're talking to one girl, make strong eye contact with her as you approach and smile. You want to make sure that you seem friendly and relaxed, and like this is the most natural thing in the world. You want to make sure that you use your eye contact to express dominance, so if the girl doesn't break it first and you get so uncomfortable you have to break eye contact, make sure you break it to the side or up. You don't want to break it down, which is a sign of submission. When you start talking to a girl, you want to stand with your feet shoulder width apart. You want to have a nice, solid, strong base under you, so you're not tempted to switch from foot to foot or fidget around or do anything like that. Instead, you want to stand feet shoulder width apart, shoulders relaxed and leaned back, weight resting on your back foot. And you want to have slow, steady movements. Everything you do should be controlled, relaxed, comfortable. You're not seeking to express confidence as much as comfort. When women see that you're comfortable in a situation non-verbally through your body language, a nice smile, strong eye contact, even if you're freaking out inside, like do everything you can to look as relaxed as possible. Because looking confident is really difficult, right? But looking relaxed looks just like confidence. The more relaxed you look, the more attraction you're going to spark with your body language. Next, I want to talk about touching for attraction. So number one thing is you want to make sure you touch on your opener. That's really important, even during the daytime. That's another reason it's really important to not approach women from behind, because if you touch girls from behind, it freaks them out. Whereas if you touch them from the side or the front, then it's not as bad. So you want to make sure you touch on your opener. You want to make sure you touch more than just one person if it's a group. You don't have to touch everyone, but you want to make it obvious that you're not just touching one person. And then you want to make sure that you keep your touching playful at first. Playful touching is things like pushing her away gently, flicking her, bumping into her, touching her between the shoulder and the elbow. Anything that you would kind of do with a female friend or sister that's friendly but not even necessarily sexual, just kind of flirty and touchy. That's our goal during attraction with our touching. We don't want to try to pull her in too much. We don't want to try to be too all over her, but we do want to have a steady stream of playful, fun touching, and we want to progress it. We always want to be escalating. So as we're doing this playful touching, we want to try to progress to touching her hand or putting our arm around her. So I might do something like give her a high five when she says something I can pretend is cool. Or I might put my arm around her and ask her friends if we look like a good couple. Or I might, you know, ask her to see her ring or her bracelet so that I can just get her comfortable with me touching her hands. We're always looking to escalate, even if it's not sexual, because every escalation earns us the right to escalate more. All right, let's talk about spatial relevance. Now, in modern psychology, spatial relevance kind of refers to how you and other people judge their general space. So intimate space is within a half meter. So that's about a foot and a half. Personal space is within 1.2 meters. So that's about 3.5 feet, something like that. And social space is up to 3 meters. Everything from 1.3 to 3 meters is social space. So in the beginning, we want to not get any closer than we have to because we want to get them comfortable socially. So social space, to me, social space is about 3 to 4 feet. Personal space is like a little more than 3 feet, so let's call social space 4.5 to 5 feet. Long enough that you can touch like an arm's length, maybe a little bit more than an arm's length, but not much more. You don't want to ever be outside of that range. You don't want to ever be more than 5 or 6 feet away. Like if you're at the all the way at the end of edge of social space, it's difficult. Now, in certain situations, there's always an exception to the rule, right? If you're, like, the only people in a coffee shop and you're, like, talking to her from 10 feet away or, like, a bench or something, like, then a little bit further out. But generally, we want to start around 4 to 5 feet away. And then we want to quickly get into her personal space, that space that's about 3 feet away. So that move from 5 to 4 to 3 feet is a big one. You want to start that like as quickly as you can by just taking a little step towards her from opening. If you open about an arm's length away, take a step back, and then take a step in, that'll get you into the kind of outskirts of personal space about 3 feet away. And in attraction, we want to preserve her comfort levels and then violate them by getting a little too close. And then we want to pull away. So this is something that I call the Captain Jack special move. And we'll have a demonstration video of this as well, because it's kind of hard to follow in the audio. But the Captain Jack special move is basically leaning in to tease a girl. After you take your step into her personal space, you're about 3 feet away now, you tease a girl. You say something like, "Oh my God, you are trouble." And you lean in, like you're going to whisper it into her ear. Like you look around if you're in a group or if she's there, you like lower your voice and you lean into her personal space. Not right into her ear like you're like close enough to lick it, but like basically, you know, maybe like 6 inches from her ear. And you go, "Oh my God, you are trouble." Or, "Oh my God, I can already tell your last boyfriend didn't spank you enough." Or, "Oh my God, you are such a pain in the ass." And then, as she's about to react and get uncomfortable, you then pull away and you rock back out, and you take a step back. So you actually go back to about 4 feet of personal space. So you're going to come from 3 feet of personal space into about 6 inches, tease the girl, and then rock back out to about 4 feet of personal space. And that move really is the beginning of physical push-pull. Here you're leaning in and you're pushing her away and you're sending mixed signals, right? By leaning into her personal space while you're teasing her, she can't get uncomfortable. But, and then when you rock away, she now wants to fill that void. She now wants to get closer. And most of the time, girls will touch you on the arm right after you do that, almost 100% of the time, if you do it right. So that's a little way that you can kind of start to build some sexuality into it. As you're getting really close to her, you're violating her personal space, she's going to get a little turned on, because women always get turned on when people move into their personal space. That threat of danger, that little scare is very close to arousal. So she's going to get a little turned on. And then when you back off, she's going to want to chase that feeling. And that starts building a lot of sexual momentum. That's definitely something that you can throw in no matter where you're at in your game. And definitely wait for the videos to come out, because when you see how easy this is, it's a really, really amazing tactic. Okay, now we're going to move into the comfort phase. And in comfort, we want to start opening up. So body language for comfort is going to be more open. We're going to be facing the girl. We can even be leaning towards her, getting our bodies physically closer. Here we want to make the girl feel like she's the center of our universe right now. We want to really hone in on her with warm, friendly, smiling, and, you know, nice, friendly, soft eye contact, and a lot of physical closeness. We want to keep cutting into physical space. Ideally, in comfort, we want to be talking about 6 to 7 inches away from her face. We want to be talking really, really close to the girl. So that means that if you're seated, you're going to need to get physically close to her, meaning you're going to need to take a seating position that isn't across a table or somewhere where you can't escalate. If you're sitting at like a table like that's circular, just move your chair closer to hers or her chair closer than yours, or choose a seat that like is next to her. Sit it on the same side, because it allows you to escalate more and it allows you to get that good body language of comfort. It makes her feel more like she's on a date. We're going to talk later about the concept of building sexual rapport. And you wanna start treating the girl like the two of you are already together. Like you've already been on a date, you like each other. There's no confusion about the fact that you guys are gonna end up together, except in what terms of a relationship you're gonna get. So again, really open, focused on her body language. And let's talk about touching and comfort. In comfort, we wanna start building a sexual rapport. So that means you're going to start treating her like you guys have already had sex. So your touching, in addition to escalating towards sex, should also escalate in terms of its intimacy. And when we're talking about the intimacy of touching, we're talking about things that you do with people you're already dating. So things like touching her face. Once you're in comfort, it's not a bad idea to touch the girl's face. It's a good idea to brush her hair behind her ear. It's a good idea to, if she has, you know, lipstick stain on or something, wipe it for her. It's a good idea, to, you know, wipe her face and say she had an eyelash. Because here, we're getting her physically comfortable with the things that lovers do. When people have physical rapport and we're both acting in the same way, it's going to lead to that is the final goal. The more sexual you act with a girl when it's subtle, when it's things that just you wouldn't do if you weren't going to be sexual or intimate with someone, the better it works. It's much better to do stuff like this than to take a girl on a dance floor and dry hump her or like try to rub her pussy like in the club. Like this kind of stuff really, gets the girl thinking about being with you. So sharing drinks, sharing food, if there's food around, you know, holding each other, holding hands. Whenever you're walking anywhere, take the girl's hand. The earlier you try to take a girl's hand when you're talking to her, the better. Once you're in comfort, right? So once you've already gotten attraction and she's qualified herself, then you want to start. If you see an opportunity, like if you're moving her into isolation, or, you know, you've met her and now you guys are like going on an instant date during the day, try to grab her hand. If she tenses up, just throw it away, but like use it to guide her anytime you're moving her around or anytime you're going somewhere, because you can tell a lot from the way a girl will hold your hand. If she's really like tightly holding it, it's really on. Recently I met a girl in a nightclub and I wasn't really sure if she liked me or not. And then we were like moving around and having shots and I went to hold her hand and she like really grasped onto my hand and like held onto it super tightly. And I ended up going home with her that night. And it was all from just seeing that it was on like that. Hugging is another big thing. One thing I'll do is I'll, give girls the hug test. You know, I'll reward them for hugging and then I'll fail them on something. So I'll say, for example, let's say the girl, you know, tells me she's from Canada, and I love girls from Canada. They're my favorite type of girls from all over the world. I'm like, oh my God, I love Canadians. Give me a hug. And then I go to hug her, and depending on how she responds, I'm going to fail her. Even if she gives me a really good hug, I'm still going to fail her just because I want to frustrate her a little bit and get her used to getting rejected, because that builds sexual arousal, right? So I go to hug her, and she's just kind of not into it. I'm like, oh my God, you're the worst hugger ever. I'm giving you a fail in hugging. And then inevitably, because you're in comfort, she's going to want to do it again. And then that time she'll give you a better hug. And now you can go, okay, you passed the hug test. And ultimately, you do want to go for kissing in comfort. And the best way to go for kissing is for it to naturally happen. But the almost kiss is another great way to kiss a girl. And so what you do is you go, you know, I'm totally thinking about kissing you right now, and I know that's not appropriate, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do an almost kiss. You're not allowed to kiss me. I'm not allowed to kiss you. And then you get really close to her lips within an inch or two, and then you push her away. You go, all right, that's all you get. And then 10 or 15 minutes later, you go, you know what? I think I'm ready for another almost kiss. And the second time you do it, inevitably girls will end up kissing you. Sometimes girls will be like, no, I don't want to do an almost kiss. Just kiss. I want to kiss you. Or they'll be like, if you just want to kiss me, kiss me. And obviously that works as well. So the almost kiss is a really good way to kiss. And in comfort, you should get used to kissing girls. But you always want to make sure that you end it first. All right, let's talk about spatial relevance for comfort. In comfort, we want to build a shared space. So what that means is that we want to get very much into our intimate space. We want to be touching all the time. I might want to have my arm around the girl. I might want to have her on my lap. I might want to just be holding her hand. I might want to just be, you know, putting my feet on top of her, like under a table or something, you know, or like touching her feet with my feet, or, you know, touching her leg under a table. But I want to always be touching in comfort. I want some sort of touching to be happening all the time, especially if it's subconscious touching of skin to skin. Because when you're touching skin to skin, women are going to take that sexually. There's very few times that certain places of your body are going to touch. So, for example, if the girl is wearing a skirt and I put my hand on her, like, inner thigh, but not very close to her vagina, you know, like, near her knee. The only time skin on skin is going to be touching there is when, you know, people are having sex. And if I move so that we're sitting and my leg is touching her leg, she's going to have the feeling of my leg next to her and the feeling of skin on skin. And that's going to build a lot of sexual comfort. I also might, if we're making out, I might kind of lift my shirt, and if she's wearing like a tank top or, you know, like a halter top, bare midriff shirt, you know, press our stomachs together. Or I might, you know, touch her back, like her mid-back under her bra or shirt. You know, not trying to take off her bra or anything, just, you know, like touching her back, rubbing it under her shirt. And we also want to make sure that we're talking within 6 inches of her face and ears in comfort, like really, really close. Don't worry about leaning in here. You can talk really close and be sure to occasionally pull back. Here you kind of, there's no real strategy to the pulling back, but every now and then you should pull back to allow the woman to lean forward. So if you've been leaning forward for 5 or 10 minutes and things are going really well and hot and heavy, you can just kind of lean back and sit back or, you know, move a little further back and create some more personal space. Don't say anything about it or do anything to draw attention to it, but just do it every now and then as an exercise to just see if she gets closer, if she closes that gap. The more she closes that gap, the more she initiates touching, the better things are going, and the more sexual comfort is being built, and the more she's ready for escalation. All right, let's move on to the body language of seduction. So when it comes to seduction, things are going to slow down dramatically. The movements need to be purposeful. The touching needs to be seductive, meaning light and gentle and then hard and pressing. So you want to have firm touching. You want to have slowed body language. You want to have very seductive eye contact. And you want to use what's called triangular gazing. And with triangular gazing, you're going to be looking from the girl's eyes to her lips. So you'll start looking at her left eye, then her right eye, and then her lips. And then her lips, and her left eye, and her right eye, and her lips, and her right eye, and her left eye, and so on and so forth. And you can get caught staring at her lips. You can even get caught staring at her body. Oftentimes, I will look down a girl's shirt as we're, like, making out, or, like, as we're, like, you know, getting back to my apartment, and I'll just look and go, oh my god, you look so sexy. I totally just got caught checking you out. But you can allow yourself to look down her body. Look at how sexy she is. You want to start imagining how great it'll be to have sex with her. This is kind of like an assume the sale type thing, because the more sexuality you can portray, the better your body language is going to be, the smoother, the sexier. And you also want to make sure that you're conveying intent. Intent, raw sexual intent, when you want to ravish a girl, when you really want nothing more than to rip this girl's clothes off and do all sorts of fun, amazing things to her body, that can be conveyed through your eye contact, your facial expressions, and your movement. So when you pull a girl in by the waist, or you move into a girl and press your body against hers, when you do triangular gazing, when you have a sexy, coy smile, like you look at her and imagine that you know everything that's going to make her come and that she's going to have the best sexual experience of her life, and you give her a sly smirk. You can see this in good sex scenes in almost any movie. Mr. Big has a great sly smirk in Sex and the City. But that's kind of what facial expression, like you two are going to have sex and you're turned on and excited by it. Now let's talk about touching for arousal, touching for seduction. So this stuff is stuff you're going to do as you're getting ready to get her to leave the bar with you, or as you're getting back to your place, as you're like on the way there. These are things you're not going to do until you've already made out with the girl. And when I say made out, I don't mean pecked. I mean you guys have made out. So the keys here, these are things that are going to start to take you from, you know, making out to having sex. So these are ways to touch and build arousal. Pulling the girl's hair, running your hands through. Girls love having their hair played with. So when you're kissing a girl, you should always put your hands into her hair and just kind of like stroke through it. It's not rocket science. But as you're doing that, as you guys start making out and things start intensifying, you can move your hand to the base of her head, grab her hair at the roots, and pull it. And if you really want to, you can like pull it and whisper in her ear something like, "Do you like that? You were such a naughty girl." Or some such dirty talk, which I will not be repeating to a bunch of dudes. Other things you can do here, neck biting, kissing down the girl's neck. One of the things that I always tell students is that men and women are both
on the same train to sex once you have sexual logistics, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, and once you guys have started making out. But the thing is, the woman's train is like 15 minutes behind. So you never want to make a sexual move on a girl until you've been making out with her and doing not like you know, all sorts of arousal stuff first for like 15 minutes. You never want to try to like remove clothes or anything like that for 15 minutes of like make out and arousal time. If you do that, you will see a marked increase in your actually getting sex and the decrease in last minute resistance because you're getting girls heated up. Like if you do kind of foreplay stuff with a girl for like 15 minutes, she's going to really get heated up. And so things like hair pulling, kissing down her neck after you've been making out for a few minutes, you can start kissing her neck. And then if you're bold, you can kind of bite her kind of at the nape of her neck where her neck turns into her shoulders lightly. You don't want to leave a mark or anything, but like firmly enough that it pinches. And that's like a good firm bite. And if the girl moans or like you feel her relax or she gets goosebumps or anything like that, you know, it's going well. So for making out and hair pulling, you go neck kissing, neck biting. Maybe you'll kiss the girl's ears. Then I like to blow on the girl's neck. That's like a good one. Like hot breaths, like as if the two of you are like fucking each other and you're like breathing on her. That's sexy too. Other things I'll do are scratching her back. I'll put my hand up her shirt, but like behind, up the back of her shirt, not where her boobs are, and I'll just rub her back and scratch it. And I want to make sure that like we're like on top of each other or we're like physically close. So like if I'm making out with a girl, I want to be on top of her or have like my leg in between her legs. Like I want to have her legs apart. So if I'm making out with her on my couch, maybe I'll like hold her hands above her head and put my knee between her legs. I mean, you don't force it. If she's like not letting you put your leg between her legs, okay, then don't do it. But, I'll try to do that. And I'll do that before dry humping. Dry humping is good and that comes later, but like that's kind of like a good prelude to dry humping. It gets her used to like spreading her legs. And it gives her something to grind on. While you're kissing her and blowing her on her neck and scratching her back. And then another thing I like to do is grab them by the waist. So like maybe after I like grind with her a little bit, like we dry hump, I'll push her back, and say we have to stop because you want to slow things down. And we'll talk about that with sexual push pull and spatial relevance. But then I'll pull her in by the waist. Anytime you pull a girl in by the waist, like if you're making out on the way into your apartment, and you pull her in by the waist and make out with her like really hard and then push her away, that'll really spike the arousal. So if you push her away and then pull her in by the waist, and then grab her ass, like outside of her jeans, you know, and then things like rubbing her inner thigh, like touching close to the sexual areas, but not close enough to get her uncomfortable, kissing down her chest, kissing her stomach, and then kissing like above her pubic bone. And then going back up, and like after 10 or 15 minutes of that, if the girl hasn't already taken clothes off, then you can start taking your clothes and her clothes off, and you'll see a lot less LMR. So that's a little bit of how to go from that to sex. And then from there, like once you get her clothes off, you basically want to get her pants and panties off or her skirt off, and finger her until she's wet, and then get a condom and have sex. And that's how you go from make out to sex. Thank you. Applause. Optional. All right, now we want to talk about spatial relevance when it comes to seduction. The thing with spatial relevance here is we want to start doing what I like to call coquetting. And coquettes are one of the seven types of seducers that Robert Greene came up with in his book, the Laws of Seduction or something, the 48 Laws of Seduction, whatever it was. And basically a coquette is a tease. So coquettes are always in control of themselves and they are always arousing people and then pushing them away. That's what coquettes do. So our whole idea with spatial relevance and our arousal and our touching and our body language is that we want to get the girl heated up and then push her away. Get the girl heated up, push her away. Until she, you know, starts to escalate things. So what we want to do here is we want to move into her space to arouse her and then move out of her space to push her away. So I might start by moving into her space and kissing the girl's neck and then kissing down her chest and then kissing across her chest but not near her boobs. And then stopping and pushing her away and moving out and going, oh, my God, you are so sexy. Like, I should try to be good. And then coming back in and kissing, making out with her more. And then, again, escalating a little bit more, pulling her in and arousing her. The pulling is arousing and demonstrating sexual intent. So I might, you know, I might pull her on top of me so that we're, like, grinding and making out. And then I might push her off and go, oh, my God, you know, I want you so badly. This is so bad. What are you doing to me? You are trouble. And then I'll pull her in again by the waist and make out with her more. And then the pushing is when you physically push her away or stop. You don't always have to physically push the girl away. It's good to have some of that sexual push-pull because it creates this sexual power struggle where it's really fun for the girl to get dominated and then to be the sexual aggressor, especially when you've done all your framing that we talked about framing her as sexually aggressive and everything like that. Then it allows the woman to really, like, kind of seduce you as well as being seduced. So using that spatial relevance, we want to have multiple push-pulls, usually two or three. And the idea is to look like you're almost overcome by passion. Like, she's so sexy, she's got you so turned on that you can't help yourself, but you're trying until eventually she starts to escalate. And sexual push-pull can really get you through a lot of stuff because you can use sexual push-pull to move to, you know, various last-minute resistance techniques like, you know, pulling out your dick and jerking off and, you know, freeze-outs and, you know, all sorts of fun things. So there's a lot of stuff you can do with sexual push-pull once you're actually in the bedroom and making out. Which brings us to logistics for arousal. So arousal can be built in any environment. It is possible to arouse girls in the club. Sometimes that helps you, sometimes it doesn't. In general, I say if you're a beginner, you want to stay away from trying to get girls too heated up in the club because it leads to flaking and buyer's remorse and all of those things. Because what happens is there's a tipping point where arousal becomes foreplay. Like, once you're fingering the girl or touching her vagina or she's touching your dick, you're now into foreplay. And foreplay is a dangerous beast because foreplay either turns into sex or it turns into buyer's remorse. So if you start foreplay in a place where you guys can have sex or where you can quickly move to somewhere where you can have sex, like at a party with friends around or, you know, in your apartment, you know, with you and your friends as a makeshift after party, then that's fine. But if you start arousing a girl in a club and you haven't figured out how to pull her away from her friends, it can lead to just getting cock-blocked, and that's not good. So remember that anytime there's contact with breasts, vagina, penis, like now we're into foreplay and now we've gone past the point of arousal. Now, you can build arousal without actually touching any of those areas. Things like pulling on her hair, things like kissing her neck, things like scratching her back, things like squeezing her butt outside of her jeans, and if she's really going with the making out, inside her jeans. All that stuff can happen in clubs and not leave you too bad. But once you go past those kind of things, that's where you get into trouble. And so you don't want to start foreplay until you can take advantage of it in a place where the girl's comfortable. So, I mean, if you're making out and the girl's talking about how she gives really good head, you could just say something like, let's go take a walk. And if she's comfortable giving you a blowjob, like in an alley or like in a car or something, you can just move to logistics. Right, but otherwise you're going to want to set up logistics the same way as always by having a reason. So, you know, you invite her back to your place to check out this movie, or you invite her back to your place for one more drink, or for a hot tub, or, you know, to sober up before she drives home. But just having an excuse, and then as soon as you get somewhere with a locking door, you can really start all sorts of arousal and foreplay that she will allow. But generally, it's going to be somewhere that's private. And it's going to relate to how much arousal is built. If she's really into it and she's, like, grinding on you in the middle of the club, like she's, like, sitting on your lap grinding you, then, you know, try to take advantage of it quickly. If the girl starts initiating, like, foreplay, like, she starts trying to grab your dick, get her into logistics where you can have sex with her immediately, as quickly as you possibly can. All right, so let's recap everything we've gone over today. We defined nonverbal seduction as everything that happens leading towards sex that doesn't have to do with words. We talked about why it's important, because it bridges all of those little gaps. It bridges the gaps between attraction and sexual attraction, between comfort and sexualized comfort, and between making out and sex. We talked about starting it in the sexual attraction phase. You don't want to do anything but try to be social and fun in the beginning. Then we guided you through step-by-step ways to use your body language, touching, and spatial relevance to seduce nonverbally in attraction, in comfort, and seduction. So no matter what level you're at, you can take some of this stuff immediately, apply it, and start to get amazing results in your own game. This is all stuff you don't need to study anymore about. You can just apply any of the examples in the kind of environments that we were talking about of comfort, seduction, and attraction, and you will start to get better results. You will start to get more attraction and move things smoothly towards sex. Now, as always, I want to end this module with a couple of exercises for you guys to do. Number one, I want you to practice your non-verbally seductive body language in the mirror 3 times in this next week for 15 minutes each time. And here I want you to focus on eye contact, that sexy, smoldering stare, as if you're looking at the woman who you are most attracted to in the world naked and you can't wait to have sex with her. Sexual intent, projecting that slow smirk that says, I know exactly what to do to your body. And then slow, sexy movements coming from the waist. Make sure that everything moves out from your waist so that you're projecting that sexuality and that stillness. Exercise number 2. Record yourself practicing the Captain Jack special move, back turns, and sexual push-pull. So the Captain Jack special move we talked about, moving in and out. Back turns are things you're going to do to punish the girl in attraction. They go with the Captain Jack special move. Sometimes you'll tease a girl and you'll turn your back on her playfully and over the top. You want to make sure that it doesn't look like you're actually trying to ignore her, but like you're storming off in a huff, like, oh my God, you were such a dork. Back turn. And then turn back after like 2 or 3 seconds. And also sexual push-pull. So there you're going to be, you know, escalating and then pushing the girl away. Right? And then watch yourself do it. I know it's kind of weird, but you learn a lot by seeing this stuff, because sometimes you'll see that, like, you look goofy or you can't keep a straight face or it's weird. And then once you've watched yourself, try to do it again with slower, better eye contact, because the eyes really convey a lot of sexual confidence with how they look at the girl and how they move around her body and her face and linger. And how you break the eye contact. So that's going to wrap up Seduction Roadmap session number 5, nonverbal seduction. Go ahead and implement all this stuff as soon as possible into your game, because this is all ready-made and tailored to use. And look for the accompanying videos, which have demonstrations of all this stuff with girls. Until next time, I am John Sin, wishing you good luck.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. For help with guest options, press star 0. The moderator has not yet joined the conference. Please stand by. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.